If you do have your Bibles, please do keep them open with me at 3 John. You'll find that helpful as we come to think about it this evening. Well, I wonder, do you remember report cards? Yeah? I'll not ask who got the exemplary or indeed the poor or indeed could do better. I always disliked that I could do better because if I could have done better, well, I probably would have done better. But anyway, today I understand that teachers must be very careful, and I'm married to a teacher, so I know what they have to be very careful what they put on report cards. And they certainly can't say what they said about a friend of mine, he's a lazy article. But you know the purpose of report cards, isn't it? It's to show parents and children how they're getting on, how they're progressing in their studies and development. And indeed, as you get older, as you go into work, you have probation reports, you have work appraisals, and then they're increasingly promoting self-reflection and self-appraisals, two things I admit I dislike. But in the Christian life, we too are meant to be self-assessing our Christian walk with the Lord. We need to be regularly asking God to reveal to us the areas we need to improve upon, because none of us are the finished articles. Now, thankfully, we don't have other Christians writing our appraisals, although being accountable to another believer is a helpful practice. But here in 3 John, we see that the Apostle John writes three appraisals concerning three different men in their walk with the Lord. Two are positive, one less so negative. A reminder again that we're all different. However, John wants us all to examine ourselves to see where we are at with Christ and how we can live authentically in Christ, especially as men and women of God. Because it's one thing to say that you're a Christian, it's another to live it out. So let's look at these three men, mindful that our primary example is Christ alone, who is the perfect God and man. Firstly, we see a consistent Christian. Living an authentic Christian life, it requires consistency. We can't live a double life. What we say and do, both in public and private, must be consistent. And here, John writes warmly in verses 1 to 2 to Gaius, a convert under John's ministry. My version's the ESV, so please allow for that. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. Now, it's clear that John loved this man in the Lord. Now, I know when we talk about men loving other men, we do get nervous, and rightly so. But loving in the Lord is something different. It means that he wants all to go well with this man, Gaius. That he will enjoy good health, and above all else, do you notice it? That all goes well with your soul. I wonder, as believers, have we the same desire for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Sure, we want them to succeed and be healthy, but how often do we pray for their souls? That they would remain committed to God's word of truth. As God instructed Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Obedience, prayer, holding on to God's truth, they are key to our spiritual health. There's a commentator, David Guzik, he provokes, many Christians would be desperately ill if their physical health was in the state of their spiritual health. How is your spiritual health, folks? Do you see growth? Do you seek to know Christ more and make Christ better known? For ultimately, authentic Christians are consistently seeking, by the Spirit's enabling, to be more like Christ. You know, my greatest joy as a minister, as a pastor, is yes, seeing people saved, and of course that is so important. But more so, it is seeing Christians grow and mature in their faith. You see, we aren't saved and stuck. We're called to grow. Verses 3 to 4. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. When people see us, they should testify that we are different. That instead of gossiping or slandering or arguing, we are people who seek truth, who speak in love, who help others in Christ. John here rejoices that Gaius and John's children, i.e. the church that John had planted, they are still walking in the truth. They aren't giving into the whims of society or allowing false teachers to deceive them. And this should be our same resolve today. To consistently walk in the truth of God, not allowing society to divert our gaze. For ultimately, Christ held out God's word of truth. And he died on the cross to fulfill it for us, sinners in need of grace. Commentator Wordsby writes, "The Spirit of God uses the word of God to reveal the Son of God and then enables us to obey the will of God, to walk in the truth." You see, praise God that we aren't alone as we seek to walk with the Lord. His Spirit indwells and helps us in our daily walk with him. You see, to be authentic man or woman of God, Christians, we're to seek to do the work that Christ has left us to do. Verses 5 to 6. Beloved, it is a faithful thing that you do in all your work efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. You know, as believers, our duty, like Gaius and these believers, is to support missionaries and those involved in gospel work. To send them off in a manner worthy of God, to have all that they need. Many of you know Alistair Begg, and he says this: to whatever level Gaius was given prosperity in verses 1 to 2, that prosperity was not hoarded in a selfish way, but it was used in the service of God's kingdom to the benefit of others. As God has blessed us, so we are to bless others with that. You know, giving and hospitality are Christian characteristics that we, I believe, in the church today need to recapture. A simple way is to give to the mission fund, to pray for missionaries, to open your home up to visitors, to share the love of Christ in practical and simple ways. And not seeking the praise at the front of the church, because ultimately an authentic Christian will point all the glory back to Christ, who gave up everything for us through his death upon the cross. As believers, we're to support gospel workers with our time, our money, our prayers, our hospitality. As John continues, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. You know, I've been struck by this for a wee while now, but you know, the Gentiles or the non-believers that John's talking about here and in today's society, well, they don't really give to Christian mission, do they? Only Christians really do. And therefore, as good as it is to support secular charities, most of our giving should be to Christian work. To support Christian workers so that they can continue their work of the truth for Christ. Because our world is searching for stability and consistency and truth. But only in Christ can they truly find these things. And someone needs to go to tell them the good news. John Stott argues the gospel is a jewel, and a consistent Christian life is like the setting in which the jewel, gospel jewel, is displayed. So may we shine the gospel jewel for Christ as we live as consistent Christians. However, secondly, we see a conceited Christian. Don't worry, these next two points are a little shorter. But sadly, in every church, there are conceited and proud people who claim to be Christians who think only of themselves. They want to be the boss. And it's a tactic, I believe, from Satan to bring Christ's church down. And that is why we need godly and consistent leaders and committee and elders, those who will work together, who don't lord it over, who serve humbly like Christ, men and women of God. But we all need to examine our hearts, to confess and repent from prideful conceitedness. For only then can the Lord bless this church, His church. Here John calls out this conceited Christian in the truth and love, and he says, I have written something to the church, but Diophrates, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. Diophrates, notes Begg, appears to be an aggressive member of the congregation who was able to establish an opinion, gather people around him, and then turn it into a movement. Clearly, he didn't like John. He didn't like his message. He wanted to be in charge. And notice what he does. He prevents John's letter from reaching the church. You see, those who crave power are those who shouldn't be in leadership. Conceitedness and pride have no place in the authentic Christian's life. I wonder, do we need to seek the Lord's help in getting rid of pride? Do we need to say sorry to a fellow believer who we've wronged? Or indeed, is pride holding you back tonight from trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Peter, quoting Jesus, said, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see, humility is the key to authentic Christian living. Notice what pride does in verse 10. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. The Diophrates slanders John. He refuses to show hospitality to God's workers as God had commanded. He even prevents other church members from doing so. And to top it off, do you see it? He puts them out of the church. It does make you wonder about this man's faith. Not that we are judged because only Christ is. But authentic Christians should live by God's truth, love Christ, and seek to do good rather than evil. Verse 11 goes on, beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Many of you will know the late Fred Strain, and he once told me this. He said, we serve a Savior who endured the hatred of men upon the cross, so why should it surprise us that men rise up against his children? Sadly, he's absolutely right. But Jesus did say, by their fruit, you will know them. What fruit are we bearing for Christ? Paul urged, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. For thirdly, then, we see a commendable Christian. You know, everything we do as Christians should be for God's glory, not ours. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. For ultimately, we remember, as Philippians tells us, Jesus didn't consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. Jesus humbly served his Father. He submitted to his will by taking our sins upon himself, and he dies in our place to free us from our sins. So therefore, to live an authentic Christian life, well, it's to follow Christ's example of humble service, isn't it? Such people are commendable, John states. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself, he says. This man, Demetrius, we don't know an awful lot about him, but he sought to live out an authentic Christian life. And it was noticeable. Ginsberg says, the integrity of Demetrius's life was such that even without the testimony of others, genuineness was self-evident. The truth he professed was embodied in him. In other words, he walked the walk as well as talking the talk. And I wonder, can people tell our genuineness and authenticity as believers? Are we consistent in our walk with him, seeking to hold to God's word of truth? We should be. John continues, we also add our testimony. And you know that our testimony is true. John and his followers, they knew what Demetrius was like. And they commended him for his service. You see, there's something humble about being commended, isn't there? Whether that's in school or uni or work, in the right sense. It should encourage us to keep going, to keep doing our best, especially in the Christian life for Christ. Do you notice that John, he desires to physically come and to speak to these believers face to face rather than write? Yes, he must address the offertories, but he also wants to encourage Gaius and Demetrius and the church as they seek to live for Christ in the truth where he has placed them. I keep saying this to our folks over in Order and Clagan, but Christian fellowship is so crucial and important in the walk of Christ. Whether that's coming to the church services, the midweek, the prayer meetings, the different organizations, coming together with fellow believers to spur one another on in the faith, to pray for one another, to support one another, to seek the Lord to work out his kingdom purposes. Ian Wiersbe argues, when God's people love him, the truth and one another, then the Spirit of God can work in that assembly to glorify Christ. We need each other to spur one another on in the faith and in service, and we need it even more so as we live in this godless society that we are living in. Men, do you know what Men Life's mission statement is? Men meeting in the right places for the right reasons with the right attitudes in order to do what? To encourage each other to be men of God. That is what we're all supposed to be doing. Encouraging one another to grow in our faith, to serve him and to love our Savior. All the more as we await the greatest condemnation that any of us can ever receive in glory when the Father turns and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Come, enjoy your Father's pleasure. I wonder, will this be said of you when that day comes? For only then will you know the peace be with you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends each by name as Paul ends the letter. Let us all seek to live consistently in the truth, like Christ for his glory and not ours. For by his selfless atoning work upon the cross of Calvary, we are redeemed from our sins to live at peace with God and each other for eternity. This is Christ's true gospel. Anything else is false. So may we declare it and live it out as authentic Christians. Men of Connor, men of honor, as your strapline is. But let's change that. Men and women of Christ, serving and living for Christ's honor. As I close, in his book, Being the Body, Chuck Colson, founder of the Prison Fellowship, speaks about the importance of authenticity in our Christian lives. And he shares in it about how he was delayed in Indonesia overnight and waiting for a connecting flight in a very warm departure queue. And he was worried about missing the flight and therefore missing his mission partners on the other side. However, he says, I was also determined not to let my frustration get the better of me. I talked with my friends, we laughed and made the best of the situation. Unknown to them, but there was a businessman who was also waiting and watching him. 2 years earlier, this man had arrived to pick up his young son from a Presbyterian Sunday school. He had no time for church, but he sent them along anyway. And as he was looking through the window waiting for his son to come out, the visiting speaker held up Chuck's book, Born Again, which has Chuck's face on it. And he recognized Chuck in that departure lounge. And he was so impressed by Chuck's consistent, calm demeanor and cheerfulness that he got Chuck's book, he read it, he read God's word, and he committed his life to Christ. Never underestimate what God can do through an authentic life lived for Christ. People are watching us, believe it or not, and how we speak and how we act. And if someone was to write your report card, what would they say? Praise God that because of Christ's grace on the cross, we can know that our report card before the Father says righteous, because in Christ we are cleansed from all unrighteousness by His blood shed at Calvary. He clothes us in His robe of righteousness. But God calls us to live authentically in Christ for His glory and not for ours. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the privilege it is to be able to sit under it. And Father, we realize that even though this was written many years ago, it still has such relevance for our lives today. Father, we realize that in so many ways we fall short of the mark. But we thank you that in Jesus Christ, when we put our wholehearted trust and faith in Him, we are cleansed and healed, we are made righteous, and we are welcomed into your family. Father, may we never take our salvation for granted. But Father, may you use us as instruments for your kingdom in this place and further afield. That, Father, we would seek by your Spirit's enabling to live authentically for Christ in all that we say and we do. And may all the glory go to our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, continue to bless each and every one here this evening. I thank you for them, and I know, Lord God, that each person will have their own worries and struggles and concerns in life, and I pray that they will leave them at the foot of the cross and that they will seek to trust in you, to lean upon the promises of your word, and that, Father, together they would spur one another on in faith to live for you and to bring all the glory unto Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.